Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still. Where nature is harsh and demanding. Where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
The glass is made of yards of highly chosen.
And good morning, it is Annie for Showreel. And if you were just listening to the Mad Hatters from Talk Back With Attitude, yes, they were talking about the Italian Film Festival and it runs from September to October. So you should look online and have a look at all the different events that are happening. There's lots of different passes. It's got lots for lots of people. At all the different Palace cinemas, which means that it's across the city, and also I imagine in Ballarat because they've got a new cinema down there. So you'll be able to, and it's also at the Nova, which is and Kino. These are not actually Palace cinemas, but some of the others, the Astor Theatre, Pentridge Cinema, all across. You can't miss it if you're interested in Italian films. And the film I did get to see was called Sweethearts, and it was a beautiful film about a young kid being sent by his parents to Sicily to stay with an elderly auntie. And it's from his point of view, it's a fascinating and a look into their lives, but also a lovely bond between a young kid and his elderly aunt, who's a crotchety religious person, completely different from what he's actually used to. So it's a funny film, but it's also a delightful film. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about Tastes of Africa. It's a series that was launched on Monday, August the 31st. It's a 3 by 15 minute series. It's hosted by Santila Chiagpi. I hope I've said that correctly. And it takes us into home kitchens and hidden eateries across Melbourne. It's on YouTube. So you can just get on board and have a look. I had a chat with Santila about the project, and this is the information that she had to give to us. If you are a person who goes to restaurants, you'll know that the African experience is incredibly interesting because, of course, Africa is a big place. But as she said, it's not just about Africa being a big place. It's also about the African diaspora and seeing the world from a completely different point of view if you are from European Western stock.
It sounds like a wonderful series, this new series that's being launched or was launched on at the beginning of the week, the 31st of August, Tastes of Africa. Tell us about the journey to Tastes of Africa, the 3 by 15 minute series that's being hosted on YouTube.
Yeah, so the producers sort of reached out to me at some point last year with this pitch that they were planning on creating a series that sort of spotlighted the foodways within Australia's African diasporic communities. And I loved it from the jump. I just sort of thought, this is fantastic. The opportunity to, you know, taste food from various parts of the world, get to meet, you know, women who are the backbone of so many families, but so often get overlooked in screen stories. was a bonus. So yeah, no, I love the pitch from the very beginning. I just thought it was just an overdue kind of narrative. Yeah.
Well, you're a historian and as well as a filmmaker, so you can see, and the pitch is that with every bite is served a story. And of course, Africa's a big place, and many people have come to Australia from a variety of different parts of Africa. So it's a perfect way of actually telling stories, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just Africa, it's also the African diaspora, you know. So, you know, people of African descent here, for example, make up part of that big global African diaspora. You've got Black British people, you've got people from Iran, Sri Lanka, India, all of the, you know, from African backgrounds, similarly in the Caribbean, and across other parts of Europe. So the African diaspora is very vast. And that was part of what was so exciting about it for me, particularly as a historian, because I am very aware of just the diversity within not just the African continent itself, but also within its diaspora communities. And so the opportunity to sort of drill down to some of those nuances through food, and food can be so specific as well, because, you know, different communities prepare a similar dish very differently. And being able to pick up some of those nuances through dishes was actually exciting, because that was an opportunity to sort of go, well, hang on, our communities are far more diverse than, you know, popular narratives reduce us to. And what a wonderful way to highlight that than through food.
And of course, you're from a Zambian background, you're a Zambian Australian. Some of the other people who are involved in this project from Black Sands come from other African backgrounds. So the whole thing is, I mean, there's only three episodes so far, and I'm assuming there'll be more. What have you focused on?
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, you know, the whole production is helmed by a Kenyan Australian producer, Kautha Abdul-Aleem. Our director, Renda Hajj, has an Eritrean background. The editor, Kalu Oji, has Nigerian Igbo background. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on in terms of, like, just from the crew side, the level of just diversity within the African diaspora that's represented. But in terms of the episodes themselves, we kind of went by region. We sort of start off in, if I'm not mistaken, West Africa. So we spent a bit of time in Nigeria via an auntie Sumaya, who teaches me a bit about Yoruba culture, which I knew a little bit about. But obviously, spending time with her and getting to learn about that specific ethnic group through the food that is specific to that culture was a wonderful and informative experience for me. We spent a bit of time learning about Cameroon, for example, and Ghana, and then a few other episodes. We spent time in East Africa, Ethiopia, Eritrea. Are highlighted on screen, and there's also a little bit of Southern Africa as well, South Africa and Mauritius.
Oh, and of course, you're just in Melbourne, aren't you?
We're just in Melbourne. This is the joy of this show, and we hope we get to come back for a full season and a longer season, because yeah, we literally was just scratching the surface in terms of the diversity within African Australian communities, but also within Australia. You're absolutely right. We focus primarily on African diaspora communities here in Melbourne. But hopefully, if we do get a season two, we can spend a bit more time with communities outside of Victoria as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you pointed out something really important, that the people who are making these programs are of the African Australian community. You know, by creating work like this, you're creating not just an entree for the majority of Australians to get an understanding of this fantastic cultural diaspora, but you also are creating jobs within the
That's right.
filmmaking
That's
community.
right. That's right. And, you know, I've long been an advocate for greater representation within our screen industries for people from historically excluded backgrounds. And so this was a wonderful opportunity to sort of collaborate with peers from various African Australian backgrounds, and the fact that there was employment opportunities, and some of them are, I mean, majority of the crew is incredibly talented and has a long list of credits. I mean, Carlo Oji directed the first feature film by an African Australian that premiered at MIFF a couple of years ago, Pasafaho. Kautha Abdul Aleem has been doing some amazing work with Black Sand Pictures and the productions there, and so has Renda Hajj. So, you know, it was a crew of, you know, already talented and established people, but to be able to come together under something that you know united us in a different way, you know, where we could embrace and celebrate our cultural backgrounds and our heritage. I mean, we all fall under the umbrella of African Australian, which we're all very proud of being part of that community, but to also be able to sort of learn a little bit more about each other and the differences and the nuances and the food was just a delight. It was just a delight. It's one of those jobs that you sort of go, I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity like this again. And so we had a time. We had a really good time.
I bet you did. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting to me is that you have a view that is international in its in this project, because it's not just Screen Australia and Big Screen, but also the Kenyan film establishments put money into this. It's the Kenyan Film Commission. It just means that the people making this project, it's for Australians, but it's for the world.
Well, that's right. I mean, we always had that vision. I mean, part of why it's being released on YouTube is exactly that. You know, African Australians make up about 1% of the Australian population. So getting our stories out there within the Australian context is a challenge. We face a lot of structural barriers. And a lot of that comes down to the fact that sometimes we're not seen as a constituency that is legible to the wider majority. And so being able to sort of go, what opportunities exist for us to be able to share stories that are resonant to us and potentially resonant to others who come from similar backgrounds. And that also, that meant opening it up to a global audience, opening up to diasporic communities and viewers within the African continent itself. And so that was something that we were very conscious of going into the making of the show.
Want stories straight from community, culture, language, music and more, all in one place?
Meet ICTV Play, the free on-demand streaming service from Indigenous Community Television.
Watch news, cooking, music, language programs, cultural shows, and heaps more videos made by Mob for Mob, anytime, anywhere.
On your phone, your tablet, or your computer, ICTV Play brings our stories to life and keeps us connected, no matter where we are.
Download the app today from your favourite app store or jump online at ictv.com.au/app.
Showing our way.
A 3CR supporter.
Hi, my name is Rolf De Heer. I don't live in Melbourne. I live across the water in Tasmania. But if I did live in Melbourne, my number one radio station would be 3CR, because it's about community and community matters.
And you're with Annie on Showreel, and we're in the middle of a conversation with the host of a series called Tastes of Africa, which has already started on YouTube. You can have a look at it, go online. There's 3x15 episodes, but hopefully there'll be more. Santilla Chinapi gives us an entree into the series and the reasons for why it was made. So we'll go on with our conversation.
You're a perfect choice to be the host. I noticed that you, as a historian, were given the honour of giving an annual 2023 EW Cole lecture about who gets to write history. And this is a perfect example, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I make documentaries and I've presented a few over the years for ABC and the SBS, and, you know, and that is, you know, part of my skill set. And so coming in to present a food documentary series wasn't outside of my remit. I think for me, what was different about this experience was it was the first time I was involved in a project, a screen project, where I was not driving it. and I'd been called up to do a job. And that just speaks to, again, just the limited opportunities that exist for people who look like me from communities like mine. The fact that in order for opportunities to show up, they either come from other people of color recognizing that skill set. If not, you kind of have to generate it yourself, which is what I've pretty much done with my career. So the highlight of this for me was getting a call to say, hey, do you want to host this? Because that never happens.
So it has been already launched. The first episode's out. Have you had any public response to it?
Yeah, I mean, we had the initial, we had a screening, a premiere screening at Acme at Federation Square here in Melbourne. And that was pretty incredible, I would have to admit, Annie, because, you know, it was a packed theatre and the majority of the audience was from various African diasporic communities. And seeing their immediate reaction to the stories, to the fact that they knew aunties like that in their home, the fact that the food was very familiar, hearing them laughing about some of the cultural nuances. Like, it was just so delightful to kind of be in a room with people who were finally seeing their stories being reflected back. And, this can't be overstated enough, but representation is such a big thing. And, you know, in a country like Australia and the things that are going on politically, where there is so much being talked about migration and migrants and all of that sort of stuff, the opportunity to kind of see yourselves reflected fully in the ways that you know is true through food, through the kitchen table, through the aunties cooking, through your mum cooking. I mean, it was just really, really special. And to think that this was the first time that opportunity was being afforded to this community was so bittersweet in many ways, because the celebration was incredible. But also the reality of it setting in that, you know, this is 2026 and this came from the fact that members of the community went, we need something of our own. And if the broadcasters and everybody else aren't going to spotlight these stories, then we're gonna build it on our own. And so in many ways it was sort of like a beautiful, beautiful celebration, but also very much a reminder of just how far we still have to go.
Tell me about the aunties. How did the aunties get involved?
What I can tell you about the aunties is I get to meet three aunties. So there's Auntie Sumaya, who is from present-day Nigeria. She's from a Yoruba background, which is one of the very many ethnic groups that make up Nigeria. And then there's Auntie Fatun, who is from present-day Somalia. And there's also Auntie Sheila, who is from present-day Zimbabwe. And each of them were just so delightful, so warm. I got to go to their homes. They welcomed me into their kitchens. And, you know, kitchens are very sacred spaces. They're the sorts of spaces that for a lot of women, regardless of what part of the world you're in, there is sort of like there's an intimacy. You know, like, kitchens are incredibly intimate. I mean, for a lot of women, it's kind of where you get to let your guard down, where you really get to be yourself. And, you know, and for them to so generously open up their kitchens and invite us in, invite cameras and essentially the whole world was really, really special. And I learned so much from them. I learned a lot of tips and tricks in terms of, you know, certain dishes that they prepared for me. But also I just got to hear their stories. I mean, these are women who generally aren't centered in screen stories. I mean, most people aren't thinking about the aunties when we're thinking about whose voices gets captured. And so to sort of hear directly from these women who are the backbones of so many families and, you know, who contribute so much labor that goes unnoticed, and getting to hear directly from them was just so special. And I'm just so glad that the world gets to learn about them and the fantastic work that they do outside of their kitchens, within their communities, as leaders, as mums, as grandmas and aunties.
Just as a matter of interest, because you were learning from them, from the in their kitchens, Were there ingredients? Because one of the things about going to the a restaurant, and Melbourne's got some fantastic African restaurants, and I've been to some of them, the cuisine is obviously very different in all the different parts, but they'll have key ingredients, which one of the things about doing a program like this is you'll be actually telling lots of people about ingredients and how to use them who wouldn't have understood those ingredients before.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I can't say that there were common ingredients that kept coming up because, again, we're talking about very diverse communities here. I mean, bananas did feature quite a lot, whether it was plantain, you know, which is a specific kind of banana, or sweet bananas themselves. I mean, in Somalia, for example, they eat bananas with their main meals. You know, they eat bananas, sweet bananas with savory dishes. Yeah. And I got to try this for the first time. I'd never had fresh bananas with, you know, a rice dish, for example. And that was a very informative kind of lesson for me. But also what was interesting as well was just the impact of colonialism on a lot of these foodways. You know, when I was introduced to Eritrean food, for example, there was a tiramisu that was served, and that was kind of reflective of the Italian presence in Eritrea. And you know, that was also showing up in a whole bunch of other dishes as well across various parts of the communities that we encountered through food. So it was just so interesting to sort of see how migration shapes food, shapes culture, but also adds specificity as well to certain dishes.
And I guess that's the same with it's an evolving cultural connection, because now people are in Australia, they must also be evolving their recipes.
That's right. And a lot of them are adapting. I mean, some of the aunties taught me about when they'd first arrived and they just didn't have access to certain ingredients, so they had to just make do with what they had. And so that was interesting. But then also we feature a young Melbourne chef, Nagesh, and he runs and owns Manger, which is a Mauritian-inspired restaurant. And what he's done is what I would, you know, is sort of like this creolization that we're talking about, where he's been able to sort of take the flavors of Mauritius that he grew up with, and he's sort of added a very uniquely and very specific Melbourne kind of energy to it, if I can put it that way, to create dishes which are highly original, very much inspired by his cultural background, but are a result of being situated in Victoria, in Melbourne. And so that was also the fun part of it, was sort of seeing how that evolution is taking place and how, you know, these communities are adapting to the, you know, their new homes and how they're now creating new and original dishes that can only be found in a city like Melbourne, for example.
And I suppose, like previous immigrants to this country, like the Italians and the Greeks, they actually started to import some, you know, improve the situation by importing ingredients.
Yes. I mean, you know, like I said before, I mean, you know, African Australians make up about 1% of the population. So our influence in the food scene is yet to be fully measured. So, you know, I do hope that we do continue to shape Melbourne's food scene or Australia's food scene the same way that we have shaped other parts of this country through various forms of contribution. But yes, I think through waves of migration, it does impact our palates and expands what we have access to and what we get to enjoy. So I don't doubt that contribution will continue.
Also, I mean, I know that you weren't the driving force. You were the one who was asked to come and join the party. But
yes.
in the shooting of this, the writer, how did you collaborate with the writer in the interview process? Because you're in charge of the interview, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, so much of that was, there was a lot, like I said, because I've been doing this for a while, so a lot of it was just pretty standard in terms of how I go about it. I mean, my usual thing is I go into interviews wanting to know as little as possible from people. I think being able to be open to listening, learning is a big part of that. And Renda, our director, was very receptive in that sense and very collaborative in just giving me the space to be able to do that. Because I did want the reactions to be organic and real and very much in the moment. But at the same time, it was the stories. It really was the stories that became the heart and center of this show. As much as the food is a big part of it, it really is about, it really is a show about people. And that was important to also get across in the final series.
I think that knowing about people's food really takes you into their world.
Yeah, and especially now more than ever, I think we need to find the things that bring us together rather than things that divide us. And food has a wonderful way of bringing people together, regardless of your cultural background, your race, your gender. I think food has a way of uniting and nourishing. And so I really hope that through this show, it's an invitation for people who might be unfamiliar with the diversity of African Australian communities to experience some of that. Hopefully they are inspired to go and try out various cuisines, because again, it's not only a big continent, it's also a big diaspora community. So there's lots and lots and lots and lots of food to try out there is made with a lot of heart, a lot of love, and with a lot of stories behind them.
Thanks very much for talking to me.
Thank you so much, Annie. Really enjoyed it.
And go online and go to YouTube and you can get Tastes of Africa. It's a series of three at the moment, but I'm sure it will expand. Coming up next is Published or Not, and we'll go out with a little bit of more of Alice Skye, because she's great.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.